Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew, guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show. He's back, Frank Loveridge. And yeah, there's a lot of love in the room for Frank, and he's building up his fan base on the show. You got to love it. And, back reading through Frank's, resume, I know he's not, he's a sack, and those of us in the law enforcement world, a special agent in charge is a big deal, Frank, love having you on the show, especially given the main topic we're going to be starting the show off with today. I know you're going to be all over that. And so I just can't wait to sit back and be the sponge and learn off of what you say. So I'm very excited. And not to be outdone, we have Jeff Wenninger, former LAPD commander, retired as a lieutenant with Las Vegas. I'm sorry, I just demoted you. Don't tell Randy I said that, Randy Sutton, but with LA, Los Angeles Police Department. And he worked for the sheriff's office before that. He's also written a new book called On Thin Ice. And more information coming up about that in a few. So thanks, gentlemen, for being on the show. A shout out to our sponsors. Our title sponsor is Gullis at Gullis.com. We love our title sponsor. And also ComplianTechnologies.com. They're our satellite sponsor. And yeah, we went satellite radio May the 5th. And not that long ago, and we haven't looked back since. We're having a blast. Gunlearn.com, BlueTheGold.com, MyMedicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting, our streaming sponsor. And thanks to Safeguard, we're reaching roughly 1.5 million people on the live stream right now. And also TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. And because Jeff's on the show today, we are doing a TwoBells giveaway. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And lawofficer.com. Thanks to all these entities for helping make the show happen. And we are streaming to all those entities as well. Now, what in the world are we talking about? The first topic, I've got so many articles of reference to it. Let me just grab the first one here. Tulsi Gabbard breaks down Barack Obama-led treasonous conspiracy. And those two words are fighting words, by the way, against President Trump. We're going to break it down. I shouldn't say we. Yeah, I'm bringing you the information, and we're going to let Frank break it down. And this is his world, so I can't wait to hear that. We've also got an update story. Ohio officer dies after a shooter lying in wait ambushed police who parked to eat lunch. They were having pizza. And it's just a reminder, guys, that this war is not over yet. You need to be diligent. You need to be aware of your surroundings. I don't care how big or small your agency is. You're not necessarily safe anywhere you go. Then we got body cam video shows the moments leading up to a North Las Vegas police shooting at a gas station. That's pretty wild. Then Colorado Springs police released video of a deadly shooting of an armed guy in the downtown area. We got an off-duty Lakeland officer who's arrested for a false report. Interesting story. We have time to get to it. Fort Lauderdale police released body cam of an officer fatally shooting a suspect armed with an airsoft gun. And then lastly, dash cam captures driver fleeing Wisconsin traffic stop. He rams police cars during a high-speed chase. These guys, they're trying to do rolling roadblocks. They finally get the bright idea that, we maybe need to take this guy out, with a pit maneuver or something, and by ramming him ourselves. And they finally were able to do it. But look, let's go ahead and start off with this first story. I have really two news sources, rvmnews.com, the main one, and of course, that stands for Red Voice Media, and also Coffee and COVID. I'm a big fan of attorney Jeff Childress in Gainesville, who has coffeeandcovid.com, and he does political commentary, and he's got a great way of breaking the stuff down. The title of this, Tulsi Gabbard breaks down Barack Obama-led treasonous conspiracy against President Trump. Now I'm going to go through this as quickly as I can. I'm going to read some of the other news titles, and then we'll let Frank Loveridge from Secret Service take it over. So the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, she declassified a collection of over 100 documents, and that happened on Friday, that she says provide, quote, overwhelming evidence, unquote, of an effort by former President Barack Obama and a senior national team, security team, to subvert the outcome of the 2016 presidential election. So take your mind in your mind, take yourself back to 2016, which is the first hoorah for President Trump. Now, appearing on Hannity on Friday night, Gabbard said the documents demonstrate that Obama and top officials, and she names them, and look, these are serious. When you're talking about a former president, these are serious accusations, and you got to be careful normally about what you say, right? She's naming James Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, Susan Rice, and others. And she says they intentionally used a politicized intelligence narrative to fuel a years-long investigation into President Donald Trump. under a false premise of Russian collusion. And none of us will ever forget that. It lays out, according to her, these over, and she's referencing the 100 documents, the 100 plus documents that she declassified. And it spells out in great detail exactly what happened when you have some of the most powerful people in the country directly leading at the helm. And she names again Obama and a senior national security cabinet, Comey, Brennan, Clapper, Rice, and others, essentially making it a very intentional decision to create this manufactured, politicized piece of intelligence with the objective of subverting the will of the American people. And she's talking about they elected Trump, or they're trying to kind of undo that. But she also said that it was an intentional act. And because of that, that's another flag word for me when you're talking about crimes and statutes that have pieces in them that have to be met in order to be able to charge people. And it goes on to say that she frames the release of the documents as an issue of national importance. So she's using that as a justification for doing so. She said that it transcends partisan politics because it threatens the integrity and strength of our democratic process. And the documents expose what she characterized as a coordinated effort to discredit Trump and to reverse the results of the 2016 election through what became known as the Russia collusion narrative. She added that the effects were far-reaching financially and politically. And then she started talking about some stuff. And you know what? I got to admit, I got a pretty good memory, Frank, or so I thought. But then she started throwing things out that I kind of had forgotten about. And I'm embarrassed to say that I had. She added the years-long Mueller investigation that cost taxpayers $40 million. She talks about congressional impeachments, smears and attacks not only on Trump, but his family. And then she goes on to talk about senior members of Trump's team were investigated, arrested, and jailed. Man, how do you forget about all that? Heightened and increased tensions between the U.S. and Russia during all the stuff that was going on. The list goes on and on, and talking about the consequences as what she refers to the President Obama and the senior cabinet members politicizing intelligence. And she confirmed that she's referring all of the declassified material to the DOJ for further action. And she stressed that she wants to see further action on this. She talks about the Steele dossier in her interview, cited that it's one of the discredited components of the Obama administration's intelligence assessment. She did a follow-up appearance on Fox and Friends and called the Obama administration's conduct, here's the flag words, treasonous conspiracy. Wow. I'd like to hear more about that. And just lastly, these are some of the other headlines that came up afterwards. Trump signals possible prosecution of Barack Obama and the thugs linked to Russia collusion hoax. Donald Trump drops viral video showing Obama in handcuffs after treason claims. If you guys haven't seen that, that's hilarious. Whistleblowers emerging after Tulsi Gabbard reveals deep state coup against Trump. So the whistleblowers are coming forward. Obama may be subpoenaed over the seditious conspiracy scheme, Speaker Johnson. Chuck Grassley releases bombshell links or documents linking Obama DOJ to the Clinton email cover-up. Trump declares Barack Obama guilty of treason, and he didn't mince words on that one. And then finally, Tulsi Gabbard has receipts saying that the new documents refute Barack Obama's claims. And Tulsi Gabbard declassifies docs showing Obama admin made up Trump-Russia plot. And Obama deserves to go to prison for the rest of his life, according to Jesse Kelly. And it just goes on and on and on. So look, that said, we got about 3.5 minutes before our first commercial break. Frank Loveridge, would love to hear your input on this and your insight.
Well, Chip, you did a good job running through that, but I want to say this, that it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or a Republican. That doesn't mean a thing. This is the United States of America. This is our country, and democracy is what makes it strong. So I want your listeners to understand that I'm not going to give you anything that I got from a media report. I'm just going to take you through the documents, the actual documents that were released by Tulsi Gabbard. You go back to August the 31st, 2016, and you say that the DNI said there's no indication of a Russian threat directly to manipulate the vote. That was back, or no cyber attacks known at that time. That was August 31st. You go on to September 9th, once again, another DNI report. You see that was declassified. There was no evidence whatsoever that there was a attack from Russia, a cyber attack to influence the elections. That goes on again September 12th, same report. November 6th, the day after the election, John Clapper came out and said basically that there was no indication whatsoever of an attack, a cyber attack against the United States from Russia that caused an influence on the election. So all the way up to November 6th, December, another document, once again, reiterating the same thing. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no cyber attack identified. And they didn't believe they had the means to do it. But then something happened, Chip. December 9th, they had a meeting in the Situation Room from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. In that Situation Room, you're right. We had Susan Rice, James Clapper, Andy McCabe was there, John Brennan, President Obama, and then things changed. The whole narrative changed at that point. According to James Clapper, the president asked them to go and do another investigative study on the election. And at that point, the whole narrative changed. And that led to leaks to the media. And now the media, collaborating with the Obama administration and who were in place at that time, start putting all this out about Russian collusion everywhere. They flooded the circuits. It was all over the place. That led to the Mueller investigation, which then leads, obviously, to the impeachment of President Trump. This stinks, I'll be honest with you. I mean, if you look at it from a factual point of view, not looking at what the media is reporting, but if you look at the documents, it indicates that something was up, and it was obviously derailed the first term of President Trump. And that should never happen in a democracy. And your listeners, who are all police officers out there, a lot of them are, that should understand. But if you read the facts and you read the documents, this indicates something went wrong on December 9th that led to the disruption of the president's first term.
Well, you know, we have a, while you're saying that, Jesse Woodward says lock them all up. We've got, you know, one of our streamers, you know, that's backing you up, and it's alarming. It's alarming stuff. But we are coming up on our first commercial break, guys. And look, we've got some incredible stuff to talk about. Some of the most important stuff going on in the country today that we're going to be talking about. And we want to make sure that everybody is the smartest guy. We want you to be the smartest guy in the room when it comes up to these topics over the weekend with your family and friends and loved ones. So stick with us, guys. It's going to get real. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. You know, as police officers, we know we can get our gear from a lot of different places. And then when you throw the online mix into it, the choices, what, they seem almost limitless, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of actually supporting the companies that support law enforcement. And I don't know of a company that does that better than Gauls at Gauls.com. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. So they also walk the talk. They support actually dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to gauls@gauls.com. And if you haven't been there lately, they pretty much have everything but guns and ammo. Personally, their boots are off the chart, and the bags, you know, we just had a big thing about Go Bags on the show, and we had their CEO, Mike Batten, on the show. Gauls.com has got it going on. And even the feds have got the component we had. I think Frank was on that show when we talked about the Go Bag. So Gauls.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block. I'm your host. We're joined by, from the Secret Service, Frank Leverage, and from LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger. Now, Frank has been walking us through the release of confidential documents. And look, they have been declassified, so they're no longer confidential. But exposing the Obama administration and senior security personnel that work for him, and these documents, the words they're using are treasonous and other flag words about possibly subpoenaing and Trump and charging Obama and people that were in his administration for fabricating information that led to Trump being a target in his first administration. And then all the other things that came about from that. Frank's done a timeline, and Frank Leverage, I tell you, it's very impressive, the timeline, because it helps me visualize. You know, when you're overwhelmed with this much information, and Tulsi Gabbard has declassified over 100 pages of documents, it helps simplify. And I don't mean, I'm not trying to discredit any of the information or make it not sound as important as it really is, but when you're dealing with a lot of information, a lot can get lost, right? So the timeline, at least for me, and in my world dealing with intelligence, which is what I used to do, it helps keep you in a straight line and not lose sight of the facts. It helps you actually understand a lot better what's going down. So continue on, Frank.
I was just going to say that you can tell the intelligence community were all in line with the fact that there was no collusion. There were no cyber attacks. They didn't think the Russians had the ability to do it. And this went all the way up to after the election, and really up to December of 2016. And bottom line is, it all changed. That whole narrative changed after that meeting at the White House. I wasn't in that meeting. I don't know what was discussed. Neither one of us were. But we can also say that as investigators, we saw something change the narrative. It happened right after that meeting. And it led to so many things targeted at President Trump. You know, let's not forget the fact that we had Carter Page, a member of Trump's team, and you had Kevin Kleinsmith, who falsified a search warrant, or actually a document, which was an affidavit that went in there, which led to a FISA warrant directed at Carter Page. And what did Clint Smith get? 12 months probation. I mean, that should tell you something. And that was the DOJ under the Obama administration. So I'm not saying I know what happened, because we don't. We weren't there. But looking at the facts, and that's all I want to do is look at the facts, something changed. And it led to obviously President Trump having to deal with this during the first year and all 4 years of his administration.
Well, it certainly would explain a lot now that let's face it, watching what happened the first, 4 years, and Trump was not playing offensive. He was playing defense. And this would help explain a lot of what happened that first year. Now, let me ask you, the two top really things going on right now, this declassification of all these documents that Tulsi just did, and also the Epstein files, that is another thing that is really on the minds of Americans. And we covered that earlier in the week. Jeff was on that show, the Epstein. And I was talking about, a lot of people, there are people out there that think that people are going to go to jail when we have a client list. And I was trying to explain that it doesn't necessarily work that way. You need a lot more than names on a piece of paper. But then Jeff brought an interesting component. Remind me that a lot of people just want to find out what the names are. They just want to find out the sensationalism of getting those names out there. But there's really a lot more, that goes on into this stuff. With the stuff involving Obama, it's very serious, the accusations that are being made. And then when you start throwing words like treasonous and conspiracy and things like that, and the potential charges, and you're talking about maybe potential of capital offenses and stuff, do you think that these words that are being used are being strategically planned? Do you think that they're aware of the words they're using, I guess is what I'm asking?
There's no doubt. I mean, Chip, those words that were used were highly volatile. To call treason against possibly a former president, that's pretty significant. And I think obviously the investigation needs to take part. DOJ needs to follow up on it. And we need to find out if these allegations are accurate. They're unsubstantiated at this point because we weren't in that meeting. And there's going to be a lot of discussion on what was said in that meeting. And obviously there'll be executive privilege and other things that they'll claim, and have to fight through that. But I think that in the long run, the American people need to deserve, your listeners need to deserve what happened on December 9th and what led to all of the different accusations against President Trump, including an impeachment, including members of his team going to jail, FISA warrants that were being falsified by a member of the FBI, and then a slap on the wrist of Kevin Clint Smith, which really aggravates me. Because we all take our oath. We're all law enforcement officers. And we took an oath to serve the American people. And we lie on an affidavit, which causes a FISA warrant to be basically targeted at a person, a human being, an American citizen. And that's big stuff right there. And we need to make sure we get to the bottom of it, Jed.
Are you happy with the... Here's where I'm going. A lot of people are not going to be happy with the declassification of the documents, especially over 100 documents. There's people that are just going to, they're going to question that. They're not going to be the same people that are upset about what happened to Trump either. I get that. Are you happy with the disclosure of the documents and let's just use the word transparency and what you're seeing so far?
I believe that we need to shine some light on this. I 100% Chip, we need to be transparent, and just saying something happened and trying to speculate that just doesn't make it. We have to have the documents there to prove and to see it in writing what the intelligence community was saying up until December 9th, when everything changed. What changed it? What evidence did they have that there was collusion? We need to get to that too, because obviously at that point, that was the narrative that was out there, that there was collusion going on. And the Steele dossier, that's obviously, we haven't touched on that yet, but we know that was nothing more than unvetted allegations made against President Trump. So we need to get to the bottom of all of this and get these documents out there.
Good point. Well, gentlemen, we're coming up on our second commercial break, so stick with us. It's going to be a great show. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at compliantechnologies.com. They're committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's helped officers tens of thousands of times with no injuries. And yes, you heard that correctly. I said no injuries because the Glove has actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conducted energy weapon, the Glove at ComplyTechnologies.com, they virtually have eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Comply Technologies and the revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplyTechnologies.com today and tell them the Chip sent you. Again, that is ComplyTechnologies.com. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines into clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up next week, all about abandonment. That is on July the 30th. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip the Blocker, your host. It's a law enforcement talk show. We're joined by former special agent in charge from the Secret Service, Frank Loveridge, and also former commander LAPD, Jeff Weninger, and retired as a lieutenant over there. And don't let him fool you. He's in Ohio now, but he's still all LAPD. So we got Tulsi Gabbard that just declassified over 100 documents that, according to her, are evidence of collusion by the Obama administration and senior security personnel that worked for him under in his administration. Their target, Trump and Trump associates. And it seems the argument seems pretty compelling. What I've seen in the news, the documents, from what I understand, are painting a pretty bleak picture of that. But we're in the investigation stage right now. And from what I understand, they've been referred to everything's been referred to the DOJ for possible prosecution on that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Frank, any other information you have? You've been fantastic about dumbing this thing down. And actually, I love the timeline the best because it helps me. You put things in perspective as they happen, which makes it sound a lot more credible too. Her decision to go public with this and the declassify the documents that support it.
Yeah, I just want to touch upon the Steele dossier. I think I started to allude to that before the break. And I think that's a major component of this whole scheme, was to include that dossier, which we knew was fraudulent. They had knowledge that it was fraudulent, that it was nothing more than an unvetted attempt to take down President Trump. We know it was paid for by the Hillary campaign and the DNC. So that should tell you something right there. So the bottom line is the fact that was used in this intelligence assessment is disturbing at most, because it led to all of these allegations made against President Trump. So just look at it factually speaking. The attempt, it came from all different directions. Not only did it come from the DNC, potentially now, based on this meeting on December 9th, there are allegations that it came from the White House all the way up to the top. And you think about it beyond that, the collaboration with the media to flood the media with all of these false allegations that were led from this Steele dossier that we knew was false. So this was an attempt, obviously, to disrupt President Trump, and led to, obviously, the impeachment and further down the line. And we saw that. I mean, this, you can't refute that. These are all factual statements that were made. You can look at the court, court documents, because they will be at some point. But these documents that have been released, that have been turned over to the Department of Justice, just read through them. Don't worry what the news is telling you, what the media is saying. Read through those documents and you'll get the big picture. I promise.
Wow. So I love the fact that we're getting a lot of documentation declassified so that we just don't have to take someone's word for everything. I love the fact that they're trusting the American people, you know, with that information. And just for a comparative, you know, when I did my undercover storefront in that RICO investigation, you know, the predicate crime was prostitution, but sure enough, we had a Tampa cop that got caught up on this. So I have to go door to door now. And now we have to interview people that were involved in this crime involving, it was a RICO, but I had a picture of a young girl. Well, I swear in the picture, she looked like she was like 13, 14 years old. And everybody at my department, I'm talking about the brass, they were up in arms over this. And I went and I interviewed the Tampa cop that came up. His name was on the list. It took a while. He gave a fake address, but a neighbor, you know, recognized the name. I went to the house. I interviewed him. And his mistake was his telling me that he knew the girl and admitting that he had been sleeping with this girl. Now, it turns out this girl was not a juvenile. She was an adult. But man, did this picture look incriminating, right? Well, even though that happened and that she was, you know, an adult, he was screwed because of how bad that picture looked. And I just do that in comparison because, you know, if you have names thrown out there and you have all this damage that can be done without facts, it's hard to overcome that. I love that. And that's with Tulsi declassifying the documents and us being able to see in hard print what we have. I'm not that interested in just reading about Obama and Chris Ray and all these other guys that may or may not have had something to do with something. But if we have cold, hard facts, and if we can have prosecutions associated with that, I don't take that stuff lightly. But I'm more interested in that than having imaginations, you know, run wild and people being tarnished under names without proof. That I'm never a big fan of that.
Well, Chip, I'll just leave you with one thing, and that was we started to talk about it, but the whole incident with James Comey and the investigation into Hillary Clinton, and you look at what was found on that server at a private residence and how they could have compromised classified information to foreign entities, which could have easily hacked into that computer, and everything that went on there. And then you had the meeting on the tarmac, if you remember this, between Loretta Lynch, the DOJ, and President Clinton on that tarmac, where they talked about their grandkids for over an hour. And then just right after that, you have James Comey come out and say that no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute this case with all the evidence that he had. Now, I know your listeners are smart, and I know they know that they could find a reasonable prosecutor that would have prosecuted that case. And I don't know why this whole thing ended up the way it did, because I have to question his judgment, but it needs to be looked into even further, because Senator Grassley also has some information. There may have been some collusion on that case as well. So we'll have to stay tuned for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, the whole destruction of evidence thing really gets me, because you and I both know that the destruction of evidence can be a worse crime than what the evidence was in the first place, right? Correct. I mean, it's an automatic felony, and that's just, you know, so I have so many issues with so much stuff. Fantastic. Thank you so much for shedding so much light on this. If you guys are ready, you know, I think it's time to jump into a story with a video component, if that's okay. So and Jeff likes things with pictures, and video. So let's go ahead and hop over rumble.com. Our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Body cam video shows moments leading up to a North Las Vegas police shooting at a gas station.
Look, man, my main concern is the kids. Hold on. Car's taking off on us. Hey, you lay down. Get on the ground. Get on the ground. Get out of the car. Male took off. He's heading towards the freeway. One of the kids fell out of the car when he took off. The kid's 41.
Car's taken off. We have the female and the little girl here. It's okay. You come over here. Stop! Get on the ground! No! Shots fired.
Guys, this just came out. And for people that are watching the show live or maybe listen to us on your favorite radio station or podcast, please stay loyal to those outlets that are bringing you this good quality content. In return for that, we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if you have to see the video, the particular video that we're talking about, all you have to do is go to our Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. A special copy of this live show will go up at 9 in the morning Eastern. And Will, our producer, will put every video that we talk about, he'll embed it into the copy of the live show. He'll even put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. He'll even Photoshop Frank and Jeff for you so they actually look presentable, you know. So it's really a great opportunity. You need to check that out. So North Las Vegas, Nevada, we have body cam footage that's released on Wednesday, and it shows the intense moments leading up to a North Las Vegas police officer. It's a shooting, and this guy's accused of hitting him with a car at a gas station. And I gotta say, from the body cam, I don't think there's any argument that the bad guy struck the cop. Now, on Sunday, July the 20th, it's 1:55, so the middle of the afternoon, North Las Vegas police, they respond to reports of a suspicious vehicle. They say it's occupied by two adults, three children, and a dog at a gas station. It's a Maverick gas station. And the initial report expressed concern that one or more of the adults were passed out, possibly under the influence. When the officers get there, they approach a black Honda Accord, and there's a 31-year-old guy named Austin Green. And he's on the outside of the driver's door. And so we have Officer Joshua Vardolis. He's talking with this guy that ends up being the bad guy for several minutes before our bad guy. There's a kid that opens up the back door, and he closes the door while he's talking to the cop. But then all of a sudden he hops in the driver's door, and he tries to drive away. And the cop's trying to grab him and pull him out to keep him from driving away, because they're still doing their investigation. So, bad guy ends up driving, speeds away. And what happens, one of the kids falls out of the vehicle, sustains a minor injury. Car stops. A woman identified as Crystal Lovett, she jumps out of the car to go check on the child. But then she sees that one of the cops, there's a couple of cops there, one of the cops is attending to the child. So she turns around, she starts running back to the car. It's still stopped. The front passenger door is open. She's trying to get in it. The cop grabs before she gets in it. Then the dude, the bad guy that they were originally talking to, he drives away and leaves. He's got, you know, the other kids in the car. And the dog. And so he leaves everybody, right? And he leaves. So the cops go on. They take last direction of travel, and they're thinking that he's gone. He's just circling the parking lot, man. And so he comes back with a vengeance. So our secondary cop that was with attending to the girl that fell out and she's injured. And he's also got the female now. This dude comes back in the car at a high rate of speed, and the cop takes the kid and the woman and gets them out of the way. Then the guy accelerates. He's heading for the original cop, the one that we're watching the body cam on, and he's headed right towards him. Well, the cop, I'm glad he didn't wait to get hit. He starts unloading, I think, five shots at this dude as he's coming. They're going through the windshield, and they end up hitting the bad guy. And sure enough, our cop of the body cam gets, you know, taken out in the leg. Car goes on, and it ends up crashing, and our bad guy ends up surviving. And then they find heroin, methamphetamine, and a firearm in the car. And it's just a mess. One of the children suffered a facial abrasion from falling out of the vehicle. And so we leave off with Green and Levitt, the two adults. They have extensive criminal histories involving drug offenses, assault, and weapons-related charges. And, of course, they had a car full of kids, right? North Las Vegas Animal Protective Service, they come take the dog. Dog's okay. Green was booked for all kinds of charges, including child abuse, neglect, and deadly weapon, and just all kinds of stuff. And Levitt was charged with 5 counts of child abuse and neglect as well. And it kind of goes on from there. But all the kids, their maternal parent was related to these guys, but they shouldn't have had the kids. So that's the way it ends. We're going to break that down in 1 second. We'll come back from our third commercial break, and I'll be announcing a winner from our contest. So stick with us and we'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But gunlearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at gunlearn.com. You can also become a certified firearm specialist by attending the seminars as well. Now, GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. And the founder, Dan O'Kelly, who's also a panelist on the show, if you have your own agency, he's got a deal for you. You can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information from that. And Dan O'Kelly, he's been training cops and Leos and the feds, I mean, everybody, for years now. So go to gunlearn.com to get more info. Welcome back to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. I'm Chip the Block, your host, joined by former Secret Service SAC Frank Loveridge and former LAPD Commander Jeff Weninger. We just got into talking about a story, North Las Vegas Metro Police Department, and they respond to a gas station. They've got a car with two adults, three kids, and a dog, and they think maybe the adults are passed out, maybe on drugs, and so Cops end up talking to the male driver who's outside the car. He jumps in, flees. One of the kids falls out of the car, gets injured. Female gets out of the car. Guy takes off, comes back, almost mows down the kid and the girl. And then he ends up hitting the officer wearing the body cam that we're watching. And as he's getting ready to mow him down, that officer fires, I believe, 5 shots that I believe they pretty much all go through the windshield. Our bad guy gets hit and he survives, but he crashes the car. And, you know, the two adults, the male and the woman, go to jail. Kids end up being returned to the maternal parents, and the dog gets, you know, taken by animal control, and it's a happy ending. But they find a firearm and all kinds of drugs inside the car. Just a sad story. And our cop that got hit in the leg is going to be okay as well. Jeff Weininger.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would start out by saying the person that called 911 on this was pretty astute in their observations, actually. Because
that's a good point.
Just yeah. By the evidence that was recovered from the vehicle, they were pretty spot on what they were observing. So then that kind of then influences my thoughts on the officers in regards to what were they observing and at what point did they feel that they had a crime that had occurred that where they had probable cause to make an arrest. Because when I was watching it, they seemed to not be very direct and confident in what they were doing relative to this individual. It seemed like the civilian that called in may have had better observation skills than these officers did, perhaps. But first thought was, as we always talk about in these cases, especially when it involves vehicles and people trying to get into the driver's side to drive off, this would have been a wonderful opportunity had they had the glove to use that. And it would have prevented this from even escalating to the point that it did. But then moving forward, I guess more critically is, yeah, this guy, obviously, he was charged with attempt murder, as he should have been. He clearly demonstrated the intention to cause harm, if not death, to these police officers as he circled back around to try to take him out. However, that being said, Frank mentioned on the break, it was tough to watch because of these kids. We had two kids that were inside that vehicle, and to fire at the inside of that vehicle, I personally would want to give deference to those children and not take any risk where I potentially could have an errant round where they could be injured, even to the extent where, in this case, all your rounds did not hit something unintended, but it hit the suspect, but it resulted in a traffic collision, which perhaps could have been a worse traffic collision than it was, causing injury to the children. Because at the end of the day, these children are really the ultimate victims here. And you, as a law enforcement officer, for your own frame of mind and peace of mind, you don't ever want to be part of harming children, if at all possible. So, but I'm not critical of the officer firing in regards to the threat that was posed. It was clear that there was significant threat. And in this case, you know, generally speaking, police departments policies prefer or require that officers move out of the way of a moving vehicle versus using lethal force, i.e. a firearm, to shoot at a moving vehicle when it's the moving vehicle in and of itself that poses the deadly threat. Generally, there's something additional that's needed to be had there. I believe that this case would have been one of the exceptions. He seemed to be kind of restricted in his ability to move. There are other vehicles that were parked there and things of that nature. But like I said, this is a tough call because you always want to be cognizant of the kids that are inside a vehicle. And it had this gone to a vehicle pursuit, the same sort of things. You don't want to necessarily be doing a pit maneuver on a vehicle with young children in it, that sort of thing. So it does impact the decisions and the judgments that you make as a law enforcement officer in these critical incidents.
Yeah, I'm trying to, as you're talking and I'm thinking about the story, I'm trying to think what in the world was going through the mind of the driver that circles around and almost runs over his girlfriend, partner, and one of the kids. You know, but of course there's a drug component to this too, and an influence under the influence component. But wow, I don't know what he was hoping to accomplish by just circling and coming back. It just makes absolutely zero sense. And he's probably wondering the same thing as he's sitting in his 5x5 right now.
Yeah, I suspect that's not the first bad decision he's made.
You're probably right on that one. Oh, well, gentlemen, we've got an update that I really want to cover, and we've got another video. So let me do this. But something's telling me that we need to cover this update, and it's in Ohio, and Frank Jeff is actually in Ohio. So let me cover this. I just have a feeling that it may benefit. It may be an important thing for us to cover. WTRF.com, Ohio officer dies after shooter lying in wait, ambush police who parked to eat lunch. This pops his ugly head every once in a while. It's just a reminder to all of us. So we're in Lorain, Ohio. I'm not exactly sure where that is, to be honest with you, but an officer in Ohio has died after a shooter lying in wait ambushed him and another officer as they parked to eat pizza. It was in a remote, undeveloped area, according to Lorain police, and they announced this on Thursday. So Lorain police officer Philip C. Wagner, he's 35 years old. He was flown to a trauma center after the attack on Wednesday afternoon in the city of West Cleveland. A police statement said, it said that he died surrounded by family. Horrible story. The shooting wounded Wagner's partner as well, and a third officer who responded to their call for help. Wow. Authorities say the attacker was a Lorain resident. I'm not going to give his name out. He's a 28-year-old thug. He was pronounced dead, which is the best news in this whole story, after an exchange of gunfire. They say that he acted alone, and they're coming out with this information fairly quickly. So I don't know what the investigative details, but they're saying that he acted alone, but they have not shared any details on motive. The department said that Wagner joined the police force in early 2022, actually. So he served with the U.S. Marine Corps first and the Sheffield Village Police Department. It goes on to say that the second officer suffered multiple gunshot wounds as well. He was in critical condition after being flown to a trauma center. And there's a statement issued by the Ohio Fraternal Order of Police. The third officer was shot in the hand. And the wounded officers are Officer Pete Gale, 51 years old, and Officer Bent Payne, who's actually 47 years old. It goes on to say that just before the ambush, Wagner and Gale, now these are considerably, I'm assuming, it doesn't say how long they were with the department, but they're older officers, so I'm making an assumption that they've got a lot more time on than the officer that ended up dying. But it says just before the ambush that Wagner and Gale parked at pizza. They were on a dead end street, remote, undeveloped area that overlooks the river and a steel mill. And that Payne was shot responding to the call. Officer returned fire during the exchange and ultimately resulted in Parker sustaining a fatal injury. And it says that, our bad guy lived with his parents. And we got people that saying he's an odd character. And there's a lot of, you know, stuff about him. But we got about a minute or so to talk about this. At the very least, what a reminder to law enforcement guys to be on your A game all the time, even when you're, you know, eating, snacking. Jeff Wininger.
Yeah, the reality is that tactics, they go beyond just responding to radio calls. It's every moment that you are in uniform in public. And, you know, unfortunately, this is not the first type of incident like this, and it's probably not the last. But, you know, with the LAPD, you have two officers to a unit, and you absolutely never have both of you tied up doing one thing. One person's always got their head on the swivel because you have to be monitoring for potential threats. And, you know, you don't want to eat pizza in a particular area. And they talk about this potentially being a guy lying in wait. So then it puts into question, is this a place that the officers always went to go eat? And that could be predictable.
You're right, Frank.
So I just think this is happening way too much. You're seeing this happening, not just with our police officers, with our federal agents from Homeland Security, these ICE agents and what they're dealing with. I know we're going to a break right now, but I just want to make it clear that as law enforcement, you risk your life every single day going out there, and you never know what's going to happen every single day if you're going to come home safely. So head's got to be on a swivel, and you've got to do what you got to do to keep yourself safe, even when you're just having pizza.
Yeah, no, you're right. If we can just save one life, guys, you know, by covering this on the show instead of covering a story with a video component, man, it is so worth it. I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org, but another fantastic show. Thank you so much. Frank Loveridge from the Secret Service, Jeff Wininger from LAPD. And Jeff, you've got a book We're kind of wrapping up the radio thing, but you got a book coming up. It's called On Thin Ice, jeffwininger.com and onthinicebook.com. So guys, please check that out. I do want to mention our sponsors, Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, GunLearn, Blue the Gold, My Medicare, Safeguard Recruiting, and Tube Bells. We'll look for you guys to actually on Monday, 12 noon Eastern.